I got in Erev Shabbos, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir number 142 in the Svarim on Rav Zalik Pliskin on self-confidence. And over here, we're going to talk about what Rav Zalik Pliskin himself says, that self-confident people can feel nervous, and we often don't see that in the external behaviors of such a person. But they do feel very nervous very often. Though on the outside level, the more confident that you are or feel, the less nervous you tend to be. But it's very normal to feel nervous. Most people are nervous at some point. And those with self-confidence, they don't allow their nerves to hold them back. But they do it. But don't be nervous about the fact that you're nervous. You notice it and you move forward. People who lack self-confidence tell themselves negative stories about being nervous. They tell themselves, if I'm nervous, it means I lack self-confidence. If I'm nervous, it means I lack self-esteem. If I'm nervous, it means that I don't really love myself. If I'm nervous, it means that I don't have enough trust in Hashem. Oh, that's a biggie, by the way. How many people with low self-confidence believe that they don't have emunah? That's not true. You have a lot of self-confident and arrogant people that don't trust in Hashem. And you have people that have lower self-confidence and they're softer people and they do have trust in Hashem, but they have a more sensitive nervous system. So it looks like they don't trust in Hashem. So this concept that the fact that you lack self-confidence, it means you don't have enough trust in Hashem, not so. Now, could you develop your confidence stronger in building your trust in Hashem? Of course you can. But you don't blame yourself for being a more softer nature that things scare you quicker. That doesn't mean you have any less emunah just from that. That's no indication. In and of itself, it's no indication. Or if I don't have self-confidence, I'm an awful person. Or that I'm doomed to be a failure in life, right? Because only self-confident people accomplish things. Other people don't. Now, not every insecure person takes it to the extreme I just mentioned. But if you do read or hear this and say, oh, that's me, I think these things, you're still able to stop it. Instead, you can think like this. I'm happy I'm learning about this. I can choose to think in more self-confident ways. Even if I told myself negative stories about being nervous in the past, I can choose a more optimistic outlook going forward. I will imagine I will feel, you know, stronger when I increase my self-confidence, and I'll grow. And the fact that I'm nervous, it means that I'm alive, that I'm willing to grow, and I shouldn't let that nervousness bother me. Or it's not comfortable, but it's not going to let me be bothered with this. LSD, we know, is not necessarily a healthy thing. It's cute. Rabbi Pliskin puts another Rosh HaTevis of LSD. L is laughing, S is singing, D is dancing. It's not directly related to self-confidence, but if you laugh, sing, dance, let's say Simchas Torah, or by a simcha, it lifts up your spirits. It helps you with your self-confidence. It helps you with the growth. We hatch Yoram on Serenity from the book called Serenity by Rav Zalik Pliskin. He refers to it here too. And he says over there you can find many ideas and stories about decreasing stress and increasing an inner calm. And serene people find it easier to be self-confident, and that's why it's recommended to go back and review all the shiurim on Serenity, on Menuchas HaNefesh, on Yishev HaDas, because that's sort of an hakdama to the shiurim that we're discussing now, which is to learn about actual self-confidence. One wealthy person once said, I used to think I lacked self-confidence until I heard an extremely wealthy investment banker speak at a banquet. They were honoring him for supporting their cause. He was totally confident in his ability to make intelligent choices when it came to investing money, but he was very nervous to speak in public. And he apologized for being so nervous in his speaking in public. He even made a joke out of it. He said that if he felt as nervous about investments as he did about speaking, he would look for a new job. He read his boring speech. He didn't make eye contact. Now, I know I could speak in public much better than he could, even though I didn't have a fraction of his financial success. And from then, I was able to be less stressed about my own nervousness. Which is a fascinating concept, by the way. When you are not afraid to share vulnerability, it makes a person make themselves less alone. So, for example, if a self-confident person wants to be mechazik someone that's anxious and not confident, someone with low self-esteem, the self-confident person knows they get nervous inside. They know they have insecurities. They know they have vulnerabilities. If they're willing to share it with this person who is nervous or has low self-esteem, it's a tremendous chizik for them because they hear the validation. Don't think just because I look this way outside that I'm always put together. Don't think I don't fall apart. Don't think I don't get nervous inside. I'm human just like you. And you could do it too. That's a tremendous chizik. So this is one concept we learned today, is that self-confident people can feel nervous and it's normal. And now we're going to talk about to do your best to be careful in front of critical people, people who are critical. There are people who tend to be very critical of everybody. Some people see the good in others. Some people see the innocence of others. Some people want others to succeed. That's the ayin toiva. And then you have the opposite. Some people want others to fail. More spiritual people have a more spiritual outlook in life than other people. But even in spirituality, some want other people to fail spiritually. They want to be better spiritually, which is also a certain selfishness there. But the more self-confident someone is, the less it matters to him what others will think. And if the self-confident person is a spiritual person, they'll focus on doing the right thing, on being kind, on being elevated, on being a servant of Hashem. They won't try to win the approval of others who don't care about doing the right thing, or those who aren't kind, or are far from being elevated. And as we grow older, we realize it's not worth worrying about whether or not people approve of us. Their approval doesn't at all make a bit of a difference in our lives. Of course, we need to be kind to people. We need to be compassionate. But caring about whether people approve or disapprove of us temporarily or momentarily is a waste of time. Time is precious. Time is a limited commodity. Time is spent well when you learn Torah, when you do mitzvahs, when you pray, when you do kindness, when you develop your character, when you care for one's health, your own health, your well-being. There's no room with a spiritual, self-confident, healthy person for irrelevant information, for unimportant information. The mind is too busy to be involved in Torah and mitzvahs to be worried about what other people are thinking about me. It might be momentarily uncomfortable to hear, but that's what we need to do to not be concerned of what other people think of us. Writes here, I used to be very intimidated by critical people, but when I had the realization that we spoke about just now, that freed me. I heard a talk about Nargonim. Nargonim are critical people. These people find fault with everything. Other people, they find fault with food, with the weather, anyone who tries to do things for them, the stores, books, everything else, they find fault in everything. They're not satisfied with, content with anything. And the people they harm most, without realizing it, is themselves. Why? Because they're never satisfied. They're never happy. They enjoy the power they feel when they complain. They feel empowered by complaining. It's like a drug. But the price of that complaining is that they are unliked by others. People avoid them. They have problems in their marriage. They have problems with their children. They have problems when it comes to working with anyone else. They're miserable all the time. Most of the time, but even all the time. And they're arrogant and they are conceited and try to hide how unhappy they really feel. So the chiddush is these people who complain rob themselves of a very good life. Shouldn't really be a chiddush, but for many it is. They think they're smarter, they think they're more clever, but they're really emotionally dumb. They're emotional cripples. Critical people that are addicted to that are emotional cripples. They have emotional IQ of a two-year-old. You may have sympathy for them, but never be intimidated by them. So these self-confident people, but they lack the emotional intelligence, they're really handicapped. That's the flip side of it. Sometimes they're sensitive, highly sensitive, but they're soft, they're nervous. They have to work on that. Of course they have to. They can't just let that be. Otherwise it'll kill them. But in many ways, the person who is struggling but is working on themselves are much more emotional intelligent than those self-confident people that try to block everything out. So that's an important insight as well, to remember those two things, the nervousness of self-confident people, expressing that vulnerability could help people that don't like have confidence, and the nature of critical people, nargonim, and how to be so careful to avoid them. And we're going to be signing just a thought on the concept of sarcasm, which we mentioned a few times. It may be able to be used for the right way, but very rarely, between two close friends or something like that. But very often, the biggest bracha is to realize that cynicism is poison for the most part, and to use it very, very rarely. And be careful when you use it, if you have a natural disposition to use it. And I'm talking to myself as well as to everyone here. Bracha v'atzlacha.